Today's share in the Daf Yomi is Gemara in Bava Kama, Daf Tzadi. We're learning today Le'ilu Nishmas Morris Leibowitz, Moshe Shimshon, Rev Tzvi Hirsch, is the father-in-law of Jackie Varner. All the chance we learn for should have an aliyah from our learning. We continue to learn for the safety of the Chayalim. They should be successful. There should be no more pain and suffering in all of Klal Yisrael. The Chatufim should be brought back immediately in good health without any difficulties, and there should be Shalom on Klal Yisrael. In yesterday's shir, on the bottom of Pei Tes Omud Beis, we had brought down two brises, and we reconciled how there seemed to be a steer between the brises with two explanations yesterday. Today we'll have a third explanation. Just remind us of what the two brises said. The first brise had said that Avdei Malug, if a woman had a Eved Kenani that she brought into the marriage, so it's like Nirsei Malug, but specifically an Eved, so it's Avdei Malug. So if she were to go and knock out his eye or his tooth, she's considered the owner according to the first brisa, and the Eved would go free. Whereas if her husband knocked out the eye or the tooth of the Eved, the Eved Kenani would not go free. That was the first brisa. Only if the woman knocked it out, but not if her husband. The second brisa said that if either the woman or her husband knocked out the eye or the tooth, so then the Eved Kenani would not go free. And we had given two explanations why this wasn't a steerer between the two brises, and now we give a third explanation. We pick up on Sadi Omud Aleph, four lines from the top, with the words Vibay Seima. The third explanation is as follows. Vibay Seima, alternatively, you could answer, the Kule Amma, both the Brises, Les Lahu Lahani Tanoi Takonas Usha. Both of the authors of these Brises do not hold from the Takonas Usha. As Rashi says, Vishibude Debal Kishar Kinyan Peros the Amahu. And therefore, the ownership here of the husband, of the Nirsei Malug, of the Eved Malug in this situation, is no different than anyone else who has a kinyan in the Peros. And that is, in fact, what they're arguing about. How strong is the kinyan in the Peros? And, in fact, v'hacha, b'kinyan Peros, k'kinyan aguf domi k'mitligi. Do we or not say that the kinyan Peros, like Reish Lakish, is not kinyan aguf dami, or do we say like Rav Yochanan we had the other day, that he holds the kinyan Peros kinyan aguf dami? And that's what they're arguing about. The first brisa tells us that only the wife is considered the owner because she is the one who owns the guf, and the kinyan Peros that the husband has is worthless in describing him as an owner. So the first brisa holds like Reish Lakish, that kinyan Peros lav kinyan aguf dami. And the second brisa, that's in accord with the opinion of Rav Yochanan, who says Kinyan Peros ki Kinyan aguf dami, but it's not a complete Kinyan, and therefore neither he nor his wife has a complete Kinyan, and that's why neither of them is considered the owner, that if they knocked out the eye or the tooth of the Eved Kenani, that he would go free. And the Gemara says, Ubiplukso dahani tenoi. This is in accord, these two brises, and is in accord with the following four-way machlokas that we have amongst the Tanoim, and two of them will be in accord with the first brisa and the second brisa. What is this four-way machlokas? The Tanya. We learned in the following brisa. Hamocher Abdul Yacher. If a person sells his Eved Kenani to another person, so Reuven sells his Eved Kenani to Shimon, but he sells it with the condition, Upasak Imo, when he sells it to Shimon, he tells him, Al minas shiyashamshenu shloshim yom. I still retain the right to use this Eved Kenani as my servant for the next 30 days. So the guf has been sold to Shimon, but the rights, which we'll call the peros, is still retained by Reuven for another 30 days. So what is the halacha? So Reb Meir Omer Rishon Yeshno Bidin Yomo Yomayim Mipnei Shehu Tachtav. Now here we introduce a new idea of the din of Yomo Yomayim. There's a special halacha. You're, of course, never allowed to kill any person. And if you kill an Eved Kenani, you're also going to be Chayav Misa for it. But there's a special din that the Psukim tell us, Achim Yomo Yomayim Yamod Lo Yukam Kichas Pohu. There's a special pasuk also for Parshas Mishpatim that tells us that if a person kills his Eved Kenani and he doesn't die within Yom or Yomayim, the reason why it says a day or two, it means a 24-hour period of time. So it could be over two calendar days or it could be a period of 24 hours. So if he damaged or hurt the Eved Kenani at 8 a.m. on Monday, so if he doesn't die by 8 a.m. on Tuesday, so then that's Yomayim, because you have all of Monday and part of Tuesday, you have the rest of Monday and part of Tuesday, so that's why it says Yomayim, but it's a 24-hour period, so then this special din kicks in, and the person wouldn't be Chayav Misa. It's only if he dies within a 24-hour period of time that your Chayav Misa is based in for killing your Eved Kenani. So this is called the din of Yom Yomayim. So Rav Meir tells us, only the owner has a special kula, if you wish, of he's not going to be chayiv misa if the eved doesn't die within a 24-hour period of time. Anybody else who kills someone is going to be chayiv, even if it's an eved kanani, even if it's going to be more than a 24-hour period of time. So if the eved kanani dies 7 days later, so anybody but the owner who would kill him would be chayiv misa based. So Rameya tells us, who is considered the owner over here? Again, Reuven had sold the eved to Shimon, but retained the payros of this eved, the right to use this eved for 30 days. So Rameya says that Rishon, yesh lo b'din yom u'yomayim, the first one is still considered as if he's the owner of the eved because he has the kinyan in the peiros. And Rav Meir holds kinyan peiros ki kinyan haguf dami, b'neishu tachta, because the eved remains under him. He has the right to use the eved. Shimon doesn't yet have the right to use the eved. Reuven retains that right, and therefore Reuven is considered, because he owns the kinyan peiros, as if he is the owner of that eved, and therefore the din of Yomu Yomayim applies to him. That is Rav Meir's opinion, and that would be like the author of the Braisa. It says, the second brisa that says that the din of ownership doesn't apply to the wife anymore because she gave away some of that to the husband in the din of Eved Melug or Nichse Melug. Kasava, you see, from here the Rameir holds Kinyan Peros ki Kinyan Aguf Dami. Oh, like we just said. Then the brisa gives us a second opinion, that's Rav Yehuda. Rav Yehuda Omer, the second one, Sheni, yesh no b'din yom u'yomayim, the person who purchased this eved, Shimon, who owns the guf of the eved, albeit he doesn't have the rights of usufruction, he doesn't have the right to use the eved for the first 30 days. That was retained by Reuven, but nevertheless, Shimon is considered the owner because kinyan peros lav kinyan aguf dami. So therefore, the second person, Shimon in our example, would be included in the din of Yom O Yomayim. So if he killed this Eved Kenani, Rachmana Litzlan, and he didn't die within the first 24-hour period of time, the Eis Leis, so then he wouldn't be Chayav Misas Beis Din. So Sheni, Shimon in my example, Yesh Lo B'din Yom O Yomayim, B'neishu Kaspo. And that's because, as the Pasuk says, Achim Yom O Yomayim, Yamod Lo Yukam Ki Chaspo Hu. There's a special din based upon the words Ki Chaspo Hu, since he's your Kesef, so therefore this only applies to the one that owns him, which is the Kinyan Haguf. And Kosovra, you see, the Gemara says that Ryu the holds Kinyan Paris love Kinyan Haguf Domi like Reish Lakish, and therefore the person who used to own him, Reuven, who still retains the Kinyan Peros, is not considered halachically the owner. And in fact, Shimon definitively is considered the owner. So, according to Rav Meir, the Kinyan Peros person, Reuven, is still considered the definitive owner, and the din of Yom Yomayim applies to him and only him. According to Yehuda, Kinyan Peros lav Kinyan Guf Dami, the Kinyan Guf is the critical owner, and the din of Yom Yomayim only applies to the Sheni, to the second guy, to Shimon. Now we have two other opinions. Rav Yossi Omer, Shneihem Yeshdon B'din Yom Yomayim. Both of them are included in the din of Yom Yomayim, which would mean that if either of them, Reuven or Shimon, killed this Eved, and the Eved survived more than 24 hours, so then they would get off from Beis Din. They wouldn't be killed by Beis Din. The din of Ritzicha in this situation doesn't apply to them because of the special din of Yom O Yomayim. Why? Zeh mipnei shu tachta, because Reuven, the original owner who sold it to Shimon, still retains the rights to the payros. And Shimon, v'zeh mipnei shu kasmo, because he has the guf, he owns the guf. Now, why does it apply to both of them? So Gemara says, because b'savka le kinyan payros, I kikinyan guf dami, I lav kikinyan guf dami. Because Rav Yossi apparently wasn't able to resolve, do we paskin like Reish Lakish? Do we paskin like Rav Yochanan? Do we say Kinyan Peros lav Kinyan Aguf Dami like Reish Lakish and Shimon is the real only owner? Or do we say like Rav Yochanan, Kinyan Peros kick Kinyan Aguf Dami and the real owner remains just Reuven? And in this situation, since he says both of them could be the real owner, so we go Sofek Nefashos Lo Hakel, and therefore neither one of them will get Misa if the person, if they killed him, if Reuven killed him, or if Shimon killed him. So if he survives more than 24 hours, they won't get Misa's basis because of the principle of Sofek Nefashos Lo Hakel. So that's opinion number three, Rav Yossi. Finally, the fourth opinion, we have the Girsa Rabbi Eliezer Omer, but Rabbi Eliezer was a generation or two earlier than these other three Tanoim, and therefore many suggest that this is the Talmud of Rabbi Akiva, Rabbi Elazar ben Shamua, Rabbi Elazar Omer, according to other Girsos, and that would be Shneim Einam B'din Yom O Yomayim. Neither Reuven or Shimon, the one who originally owned him and then sold him but retained the rights to use this Eved for 30 days, nor Shimon, who purchased the Eved and owns the Guf but doesn't have the rights yet to use the Eved, neither of them is included in the din of Yom Yomayim. Shneim Einam B'din Yom Yomayim, and therefore if either Reuven or Shimon killed this Eved and he died a week later, they would get Mises based it. Why is that? Zeh Lefi Sheino Tachtov, because Shimon doesn't yet have this slave under his possession, and Reuven, while he has the rights of usufruction, while he has the right to use this Eved for 30 more days, doesn't own the Eved. It's not Kaspo Hu, and the din of Yomu Yomayim is only for someone who is Ki Kaspo Hu, but it's not enough to own it, just to have the Kinyan Aguf, you also have the right to use the Eved, and therefore Shimon doesn't have that right, and therefore Rabbi Eliezer is the Gersa that we have, Rabbi Elazar, according to the other Gersa, he would say that neither of them is included in the din of Yom Yomayim, and Rava explains, Omar Rava, my time with Rabbi Eliezer, we'll call him Rabbi Eliezer because that's the Gersa that we have, but it probably is more likely Rabbi Elazar ben Shemua, so my time with Rabbi Eliezer, on my quad, because the Pasuk says, Ki Chas Pohu, it has to be someone that belongs totally to you. Kaspo hamiyuchod lo, and it can't belong to anybody else. And in our case, since Shimon doesn't have the rights of the Kenyan payros, so he doesn't totally own it. And Reuven doesn't have the Kaspo, who he doesn't own it at all. He just has the rights to use the Yavid. So therefore, neither of them, according to Re'elazar, would be included in this din. Now the Gemara asks, according to which one of these opinions is in accord with what Amemer said? What did Amemer say? Ish v'isha shemachu b'nichsei meluk. If either the husband or the wife sold the wife's nichsei meluk that she brought into the marriage, lo asu v'lo klum. Neither of them accomplished anything. Why? Because neither of them fully owns it. So whose opinion is this in accord with? This is in accord with the fourth opinion, Rabbi Eliezer slash Rabbi Elazar. Kiman k'Rabbi Eliezer. This goes like that opinion, Rabbi Eliezer slash Rabbi Elazar, because both of them aren't considered the full owners, and therefore neither one can sell the nifsei melug according to Rabbi Eliezer slash Rabbi Elazar. Furthermore, man tana lahad tana rabbanon, who is in accord of these four opinions with the opinion that's in the following brisa? The brisa says, Misha chetzio eved v'chetzio ben chorim, a person who is an eved kanani was originally owned by two owners, and one of the owners freed him. So now he's a half ben chorim, and he's a half eved. Or, l'chein eved shoshay shtutvin. Or, if an eved is owned by two people, he's constantly still owned by two people. So, ein yotzi b'roshe evarim she'en l'chozrin. So, if this eved has either his eye or his tooth knocked out or any of the 24 roshe evarim she'en l'chozrin, this is the din of she'en v'ayin. It applies not only to the eye or the tooth, but it also applies to the 10 digits on the hands, the 10 fingers and the 10 toes, to the two ears, the nose, and to the gid, the male organ. If any of these are called the roshe evarim, so if the owner of the slave were to knock out any of these Rosh Evarim, or the Shein, or the Ayin, so then the slave, the Eved Kanani, goes free. But in the situation where the Eved is half owned by one person, and the other half he owns himself, or he's in Shutvis owned by two partners, so neither one of them is, if he knocks out his Shein, the Ayin, or any of the 24 Rosh Evarim, Shein, and Chosrin, he wouldn't go free. So who does this go like? Again, this goes like Rabbi Eliezer slash Rabbi Elazar. Amalei Rav Mordechai le Rav Ashi. So Rav Mordechai said to Rav Ashi, Hachi Yami Mishmei the Rabba. This is what they say in the name of Rabba. This must only be in accord with Rabbi Eliezer slash Rabbi Elazar. Rabbi Eliezer he. Why? Because mi lo amar Rabbi Eliezer. Didn't Rabbi Eliezer say, Kaspo hamiyuchad lo? It has to be specifically his full ownership. It has to belong to him. It has to have the kinyan haguf, but it also has to have the kinyan peros. So too, hachanami, avdo hamiyuchad lo. The psukim that talk about shein v'ayim, it has to be an eved that you fully own, both the kinyan haguf as well as the kinyan peros, in order for this din to apply, that you go free if you knock out the shein v'ayim or the rosh evarim, and that is in accord with the opinion of Rabbi Eliezer slash Rabbi Elazar. Okay, now we go to the next Mishnah. The Mishnah tells us, HaTokeh LeChaveiro, if somebody goes and directly hits the ear, that's the first pshat in Rashi, he call out Ozno, that's Lashon Mori that Rashi has from his Rebbe, or Lishnachrina, alternately, and we had this previously as well, Tokeh Amamish. He makes a very loud noise right near the person's ear. He blows a shofar right near his ear. He blows a trumpet right near his ear. So these are the two pshatim that Rashi has of a tokeh lechaveiro. The Rambam has an interesting pshat. He says that he went and he grabbed him or punched him in the neck. In any event, hatokeh lechaveiro, whoever does this, has to pay no sein lo sela. There is a sela payment that you have to make. We learned on Daf Lamed Vav that this sela is talking about the normal sela, not a sela tsuri. So this is four zuzim when you're dealing over here with the regular standard mona, not the mona tsuri, which is eight times as much. So he has to go and pay him a sela. That's the damages for this. Review the Omer, Mishum Yosi Aglili, review this in the name of Yosi Aglili, mana. No, you have to give him a mana, which is 100 zuz. A sela is 4 zuz, a mana is 100 zuz. The Gemara will ask, what type of mana does Rehuda, Mishum Yosi Aglili, talk about? Is it talking about a standard mana, or is it talking about The Monetsuri, is he talking about a Mona Medina or a Monetsuri? The Monetsuri is 8 times as much. Now, we already know that we're talking about a Sela of the Sela Medina. So, the Mefarshim explain, if we're talking here, as the Gemara will say, a Monetsuri, that is worth a tremendous amount more than the Sela of the Medina. So, one is worth, over here, 4, and the other one is worth 8 times 100 zuz of the standard zuz. So the 4 are the standard zuz, and the 100 times 8 are the monetsuri. So there's a difference over here of 200 between the sela that the Tanakhama talks about and the opinion of Rehuda, Mishum Yosef Lili, that it's a mana of tsuri. So that much of a difference is very difficult to understand between them, and therefore some of the Mishparshim explain that there's no machlokis necessarily over here. The Tanakhama says when you give a sela, that's for a very poor person, where it's not a chash of a person, and it's not a big busha for him. Whereas the second opinion, Rehuda Omer Mishum Yosef Lili, is talking about a very rich guy, very chash of a guy, and therefore there's a much bigger payment over here because of the busha. That's how some understand this. In any event, we'll see a little bit more about this in the Gemara. Mark continues and says, if you go and starro, if Reuven goes and hits Shimon, and he slaps him on his cheek, so no silo mosayim zos. That's a 200 penalty for embarrassing him. However, li'achayodo, if he gives him a slap with the back of his hand, we have an expression, a backhanded compliment. So it's a bigger busha to go and slap somebody with the back of the hand than with the front of the hand. So with the front of the hand, it's a 200 zuz penalty. With the back of the hand, li'achayodo, so then it's a much more embarrassing thing. So therefore, no sin lo arba meyozuz. Then you have to give a 400, twice as much zuz penalty. What happens if Tsoram Biozno? If you went, Rashi says, Tsoram Biozno means Moshach. He pulled at his ear. So again, it's an embarrassing thing. The Gemara in Bechoros tells us, Rashi says, Loshem Pogim. It's like you made a hole in his ear. You pierced his ear. The Rambam has a different pshat over here that he was Pasal. It should be with a Sof. That he twisted his ear. He pulled at his ear in a funny way. All of these are embarrassing. So if you did this Tsoram Biozno, or if you were Tolash Bisari, you pulled at his hair, you pulled out his hair, or Rokak Vihigia Boroko, if you spit at somebody and it landed on him, as opposed to if it landed on his clothing, then we'll see that's a different thing. And it'll be Machlokis in the Gemara. If he's wearing his clothing, not wearing the clothing, in any event, if you spit on the person himself, so in these situations, these are all embarrassing things, Rokak Vihigia Boroko, or Hever Talisa Menu, or if you took off his outer coat, so he's left with his undershirt on, or Para Rosh Ha'isha Bashuk, or if you took off the sheitel, the head covering of a woman in the marketplace, in all of these, the penalty is no sin lo arba neozuz. You pay a 400 zuz fine for the busha that you caused this person. Now we turn to Tzadi Omid Beis, and we continue with the Mishnah, where it says Zaklal. This is the general rule that we have over here. Hakol lefi chvodo. It all depends on the person's kavod. Now, we just said in the Mishnah, we said some flat sums, so the Gemara is going to ask, and Rashi points this out, but Gemara Mefarish, is this Kulhi or Chumrah? Were we talking in the Mishnah about the penalty for a poor person and a rich person who's much more mechovid, we'd be paid a higher amount, or is our Mishnah talking about a well-established, wealthy person, a chash of a person, and those are the amounts that you pay, and if it's a poor person, you pay less. So is our Mishnah going Lekula or Lechumrah? That the Gemara will discuss. In any event, the Mishnah tells us over here, Zaklal, the rule is, Hakol Lefi Kvodo. All of these penalties that you're paying for embarrassing somebody are dependent upon the person's level of kavod. So a more b'chavadik a person, so the penalty will be higher. A less b'chavadik a person, the penalty will be lower. Amar Rekiva. Rekiva disagrees with this statement, the Tanakhama. Afilu aniim shabi Yisrael, even the poorest people in Klai Yisrael, we view them not as a just destitute person. Ronasam kilu hem b'nei chorin, we look at them as if they were free people. Sheyardu minichaseyem, who were once wealthy and now aren't wealthy anymore. So that's a much more chash of a way of looking at somebody who's poor than somebody who's just destitute. He's poor right from the start. And why is this? Because Rabbi Kiva says, because all of Klai Yisrael Shei B'nei Avraham, Yitzhak, Yaakov, because we're all the children of Avraham, Yitzhak, and Yaakov. So we all have an automatic chashivas to us, and you can't just treat us because we're poor as a poor person that doesn't get embarrassed. And therefore, Rabbi Kiva ups the ante, so to say, and if you go and embarrass somebody, you have to pay the price as if they were a chash of a person, albeit maybe they lost their money. and Maisa Shahayim. The one time was a person that took off the head covering of a woman in the marketplace. He took off her tichel, he took off her sheitel. So they brought this person to be judged in the basin of Rabbi Akiva. Boss, look there, Rabbi Akiva. So they brought him to Rabbi Akiva to be judged. And Rabbi Akiva paskin, v'chivu litein lo, arba me'o zuz. Like we just brought down in the Mishnah, the penalty is 400 zuz. If you take off a woman's head covering in the marketplace, so Rabbi Akiva paskin, they had witnesses, and there was no doubt that this happened, and Rabbi Akiva paskin, that the man had to pay her 400 zuz. Now, on my low, the man said to Rabbi Akiva, Rabbi, ten lizman, Rabbi, give me a little bit of time. Now, why should he have to give him time? Because the person, we'll see, had concocted a way to show that this woman really didn't care about her embarrassment, and he's going to go and prove to Rabbi Akiva, this woman didn't really care that her hair was uncovered, so why should I have to pay her 400 zuz? But the question that the Mufarshim ask is, why do we give somebody time? Because Rabbi Akiva does give him time, but Nasan Lozman, the Mishnah tells us. So why do you give him time? So the answer is, if you cause somebody actual financial loss, so then the Beis Din doesn't give you time, you have to pay them right away. So if you broke his window, you have to pay him right away. You can't say, I need some time. But if you didn't actually cause them a financial loss, but you embarrass them, so you have to pay them for the embarrassment, so they didn't suffer financial loss, so therefore the Beis Din will sometimes give the person time to go and collect the money. Yeah, 400 zuz is a lot of money. So the person said, although we'll see why he said this in a second, he said, Rabbi, talk to Rabbi Akiva, give me a little bit of time to get the 400 zuz, and then I'll pay the lady. So Rabbi Akiva said, v'nosin lozman. Okay. Meanwhile, this man said, this woman's a lowlife. This woman really doesn't care that her head was uncovered, and I'll prove it to Rabbi Akiva, and I won't have to pay the 400 zuz. So what did he do? Shemara, he laid in waiting, right? V'aviv shemara, said the Var, Yaakov Avinu waited for the dreams of Yosef to come true. So he waited outside the area where this woman lived. Omedes al Pesach Chatzer, he waited outside the yard that she would be in, and he knew that she would come there. And what he did was, v'shiber es hakad b'fonah, he took a jug of oil, and he broke it in front of her. Ubo ki'isar shemen. And it had a very small amount. An isar is a very small coin, and it had an isar's worth of oil in there. And what did this lady do? She said, well, I'm not going to let that oil go to waste. Gilsa es rosha, she took off her sheitel, she took off her head covering, and she didn't care that she was uncovering her hair in public, but she didn't want to lose this isa's worth of oil. So she took off her sheitel, she took off her tichel, her head covering, and she put the oil in her hair. So he set up witnesses to go and see that this woman did this. Hemed ola edim. And now he comes back to Rabbi Akiva in the Beis Din. Ubal of Rabbi Akiva, Amalo. And this guy comes with the edim in front of Rabbi Akiva and says, this is the lady? Lazu anin no sein arbenei ozuz? That I uncovered her hair? This lady doesn't care about her hair being covered. So she obviously was willing to remove her sheitel or tichel to just save an isa's worth of oil. So you're going to make me pay her many, many, many hundreds of times more than that? Because I uncovered her hair? She doesn't care about that. Rabbi Akiva said, sorry, Charlie. On the low, you said nothing. In other words, nothing changed by your bringing these witnesses. And that's because a person has the right to go and embarrass themselves. Even if you want to damage yourself, you shouldn't do something like that. It's not right. Nevertheless, if you do something like that, you're potter. You don't have to pay anything. So a person has the right to go and embarrass themselves if they want to. And but if somebody else were to go damage him, you have to pay them. You can't say, well, he was willing to go and rip his own shirt, so the fact that I ripped his shirt, big deal. No. He can rip his own shirt. It's stupid. It's baltashkas. You shouldn't do it. But he doesn't have to pay anything if he rips his own shirt. But if you go and rip his shirt, even though this guy goes and rips his own shirt, you have to pay for it. Similarly, Hakotz Yosef, if a guy cuts down his own saplings, so you shouldn't do this. It's baltashkas. You're not allowed to cut out. If it's a fruit-bearing fruit, you're not allowed to cut down a fruit-bearing tree. Even if it's not, you're not allowed to go do in baltashkas. So Alpha Bishan Roshai, he shouldn't do something like this. But no, Potter, if he does cut down his own trees, his own saplings, so he's potter. He doesn't have to pay anybody. But if somebody else cuts it down, achayrim, they chayav him. The other people, achayrim chayav him. Why? They can't say, well, he cut it down, so why can't I cut it down? No, it doesn't work like that. So therefore, Rabbi Akiva tells him, the fact that this woman was willing to embarrass herself for an isar, a very small amount of oil, so that's her choice, that's her decision. But that doesn't give you the right to go and remove her tichel and go and publicly uncover her hair. And therefore, that penalty is 400 zuz. That remains the penalty that you have to give this lady. Okay, that's our Mishnah with the Maaseh Shehayah, and now we go to the Gemara. The Gemara asks, when we said in the Mishnah, if you go and cause somebody a certain humiliation. You went and, as the we had brought down, hatokeh lechaveiro, if you either gave him a zetz in the ear or you blew a shofar like in his ear and you embarrassed him, so then you have to pay a sela. That was a sela from the Medina, the smaller type of a sela. And then we had Yehuda, omim shum Rav Yosef Lili, said mona. So here the Gemara asks, Yibaylu, mona tsuritnan or mona medina tnan? What type of mona? Now we already know, because we learned on Daf Lamed Vav, that we're dealing here with the sela medina. The first opinion is that it's a smaller valuation coin, but we don't know that for sure about the second opinion. So we're asking the Mara that which we said, the Reu, the said name, Yosef Glili, that it was a money that you have to pay. Then he talk about money at Suri Tanam, which is eight times as much as a regular money Medina. Oh, money Medina Tanam. Which did he mean? So bring a Raya, Toshma, the Hau Gavra, the Tokalil Chabri, the ones who's the person that gave either a Zetz, literally, in the ear, or he blew a shofar right into the ear of the guy and he embarrassed him. So also, Kame, the Reu, the Nasiya, they went to Rebbe's grandson. Reu, the Nasi, had a grandson who was a great person also, and he was known as Reu, the Nasiya. Take on his grandfather's name, Reu Yudan Nasi, said he called the grandson Reu Yudan Nasiya. In any event, so Amar Lei, Reu Yudan Nasiya sent to this person who gave the other guy his zets or blew in his ear, and he said, Ha no, Ha Reu Yosef Glili, there's me, and there's Reu Yosef Glili, who both paskin. That's the way, one of the ways we'll understand this. We'll have to explain in a moment what exactly does it mean when he said I and Reu Yosef Glili. Havle Monetsuri, go and pay a monetsuri. Now here he specifically said that it's a monetsuri, and he says that's Reu Yosef Glili's opinion. So Shvamina, monetsuri, it's not in the Mishnah, it's talking about a monetsuri, Shvamina, that's a very good raya. And again, as I pointed out, a monetsuri is 200 times as much as the Sela. So it's very unlikely that they're arguing if it's the same situation over such a huge difference between the Tanakama and Yehuda Mishum Reu Yosef Glili. So therefore, it may best be explained that the first opinion of the seller is talking about a person who's not so chashuv, and the second opinion is talking about a very chashuv person. In any event, this is a manatsuri that we're talking about. Now, what did we mean when we just said that Yehuda Nasiya said, Ho ano, Reu Yosef Glili. There's me and there's Reu Yosef Glili. So that's what the Gemara now asks. My ho ano ho Reu Yosef Glili. So there's two explanations that we'll give. The first one is as follows. Ilei mohochi karmelei, if this is what you're saying that Reu Yudin Nasiya said, ho ano v'chazisoch, I myself saw you go and blow in his ear or give him a zetz in the ear. And v'ho Reu Yosef Glili done my monetsuri, and Reu Yosef Glili paskins that if you do this, it's a monetsuri. So therefore, zil havle monetsuri. So therefore, go and give him this monetsuri. That's because he saw it. Reu Yudin Nasiya saw it, and he's saying, and we paskin like Reu Yosef Glili that it's a monetsuri. That would imply, the Gemara says, Lameimra, the Eid Nasadayin. That would imply that Reu Yudin Nasiya could both function as the aid, the witness who saw this, as well as the Dayin. But wait a second, how can that be? We learned in a Braisa of Otanya that Sanhedrin, if you have the Sanhedrin, Shiro, Echot, Sharik, Sanefesh, you have the 23-member Sanhedrin that sees somebody, Reuben, Nebuch, kill Shimon. So they're witnesses to it. So what do? Mitzasa nasuedim. So some of them have to go and step outside of their role as a dayan and go and be the witnesses. And some of them remain as dayanim, and they'll add additional people to make the basin of 23. Divri Rabbi Tarfon. That's the opinion of Rabbi Tarfon. Rabbi Kiva tells him, no, that's no good. Rabbi Kiva Omer, Kula made him. What are you talking about? All 23 of these people saw this event, so they're all aided. You gotta go get a different basin. You gotta bring 23 new judges in to darshan this as a psakdin of a basin. So Rabbi Kiva Omer, Kula made him. They ain't aid nasadayin. Since they all witnessed it, the aidim can't be dayanim. Now, what do we see from this machlokes between Rabbi Tarfon and Rabbi Kiva? Ad kan lo kama Rabbi Tarfon. Rabbi Tarfon said that an aid could become a dayan, but it can't be both the aid and the dayan. Ad kan lo kama Rabbi Tarfon. Ela d'mitzasa nasu aidim. Let some of them be functioning as the aidim, u'mitzasa nasu dayanim, and let the others function as dayanim, but not as aidim. However, we don't even find Rabbi Kiva doesn't allow it at all. We don't even find Rabbi Tarfon allowing the aid to be the aid and the dayan. Aval aid nasa dayan lo kamar. So how could you explain that that is what Rabbi Yehuda Nasiya meant when he said, I saw you go and give this guy his zetz in his ear or blow in his ear, and since Rabbi Yosef Glili paskins that you have to pay a monetsuri for doing that, so zil havle monetsuri. That can't be it. So where he says, no. You know why? It could be. Kitanya he can go in Shiro Balaila. Because here we're talking about where they saw this at night. And at night, the lo meva dino ninhu. Therefore, they couldn't go and adjudicate this case at night. And that's why some of them could go and be judges, and some of them could go and be witnesses according to Rabbi Tarfon. But if it would have been during the daytime when they could adjudicate it, so then it could be both a Dayan and a Dayan. So that's how you can reconcile this with the first way that we understood that Rabbi Yehuda Nasiya said, I saw this, and I'm functioning as the witness and as the Dayan, and we're passing like Rabbi Yosef Lili, who says it's a Monatsuri. That's answer number one. Vibayi Seima, answer number two is as follows. This is what Rabbi Yehuda Nasiya said to the person. He said, I hold like Rabbi Yosef Aglili that you pay a monaturi. Do I'm a monaturi? And the two witnesses came. I'm just passing. I didn't see this happen. And the witnesses came and they told me what happened. And I'm able to judge as a yochid because he was a mumche. Or rather, say there were other people there that were judging with him. He's the important person, so he's the only one that's listed over here. And he judged the case. So the witnesses came and testified. He wasn't acting as both an aid and as a dayan. He was just acting as a dayan. And he said, I also hold like Yehuda said over the name of Yosef Glim that it's a monetsuri, and Zilhav lay monetsuri, therefore go pay him a monetsuri. So this is a second way to understand this statement. Now, we just had brought down this machlokes in Rabbi Tarfon and Rabbi Akiva. Let's go and dissect it a little bit more. So the Gemara says, "Besava Rabbi Akiva, the ain aid nasadayin." Clearly, Rabbi Akiva says, if you witnessed it, then you can't be a judge. So is that really true? We have another brisa that seems to suggest otherwise. Well, Tanya says in the other brisa, the pasuk tells us, "Vi ko'ish esreyu be eden o be a grove." The pasuk says, also from Parshas Mishpatim, again, much of the Masechta is from Parshas Mishpatim. I once heard that they used to give smicha in Europe in one yeshiva. If somebody knew all of Parshas Mishpatim, was able to explain all of Parshas Mishpatim, so then he was able to be a dayan, and they would give him smicha to be able to go judge Dini Mamonos. In any event, what do we have over here in this pasuk? It says, "V'hiko ish esreya." If a man goes and hits his friend using either an eden or be a grove, either a rock, a stone, or his fist. Now, Shimon HaTimni Omer. Shimon HaTimni is a great Tana who came from Timna, according to some other explanations as to what Timni is. In any event, Shimon HaTimni Omer. Ma egrov miyuchad shemasu le'edov le'edim. Just like the fist is something that's always there. The judges can look at the fist and say, listen, could this guy have given him a zetz with this hand that would cause him to die? And therefore, yes, him hitting him caused him to die. Or no, there's no way his hand, the little baby's hand, if a little baby's hand hit somebody, there's no way it could cause death. If the guy died after the little baby hit him, it must be that he had an aneurysm. It must be he had something else. Not that the baby killed him. So they have the ability to look, according to Shimon HaTimni, you look at the hand. Now it says, be Evan or be a grove. So it must be, just like you could look at the hand, they're always going to bring the murderer into the basement to judge him. You have to judge the guy, the murder case in front of the guy. So just like his fist is always there, so too Shimon HaTimni says that the rock has to be there. You have to actually bring in the rock to kill the guy and see, is that rock something that could have gone and killed him? Because maybe the guy died nothing to do with the rock. And the rock is, you know, is also was there, but the guy really had an aneurysm. And he didn't die from the zets. He died because he had naturally had an aneurysm. So you have to examine the rock. Could that rock have killed him? That's Shimon HaTimni's opinion. And therefore he says, I'll call Shemosu le'ed le'edim. It has to be something that the base then goes and sees. And prat l'shiyotzus v'mitachas yadu edim. So excluded in this din is if they can't bring the rock forward. If the rock is lost, if the rock isn't there, then the basin can't adjudicate the din. That's what Shimon HaTimni says. Just like you bring his fist in there, so you have to bring the rock in there and have it be examined by the basin. Rabbi Kiva disagrees with Shimon HaTimni. Amar lo Rabbi Kiva, nuchi b'fnei basin hikol? Wait a second. Did the basin watch him go and hit the guy? So the basin didn't see him hit him, so how does it help us if they see the rock? So they won't know if he hit him with enough force. She owed him calmly, call. The basin didn't see this. How could they possibly know? Okay, so the rock's a big rock. Yeah, the rock could hit somebody if you threw it with enough force. But how do they know that he didn't just put the rock next to his head? They didn't see that. So she owed him calmly, call. They didn't see. V'almai call. On which part of the body did he hit him? Im al shoko, did he hit him on the thigh, and that won't kill him. Oh, al tzipar nafsho, or did he hit him in the chest, Rashi says. Tzipar nafsho, Rashi tells us, is in the upper part of the chest, near the heart. Tinuch shekineged alev. Benochu lechav misham. We had last year, there was a famous situation, a ball player on the Buffalo Bills football team, they got hit in the chest, and it's called commotio cordis, and he died. They resuscitated him, but you get hit in the chest, so that can lead to a lethal arrhythmia, and a person can die. So that's what? Did the basin see where he was hit? Was he hit on the thigh? Was he hit in the chest? Furthermore, Older Rikiva says, "Hari shadocha deskaveru mil shagad." If somebody pushes off a person from a rooftop, so or omi rosh abir, or from the top of a tower, and the guy dies, umeis, does the basin, do we matriach the basin, holchet etzel bira to go to that tower, or bira holechet etzel basin, or do we bring the bira to the basin to see how high it was? Of course not. But furthermore, im nofla, let's say the bira fell down. So now it's not there anymore. So if Basin wants to go and see how high the place was, Choser Bonel, do we have to go and build back up that tower and show the Basin how high it was? Of course not. In all these situations, Rabbi Kiva Toshim Timni, we rely upon the witnesses. So too, we rely upon the witnesses and say, was the rock the type of a rock that could kill somebody? But you don't have to bring the rock into Basin. Ella, what do we require? Ma egrov miyuchad shumasul yedim. Just like the guy's fist, the beitin will listen to the edim, will say, yeah, the guy gave him a zetz with his fist. So too, av kol shumasul yedim. So too, they'll say, he gave him a zetz with a rock, and the rock was capable to kill him. And therefore, prat b'chashiyot ze'evim itachas yadu shomaka, that's potter. It's coming to exclude when the witnesses never saw the rock. The witnesses then therefore can't testify how big the rock was, how strong the rock was, could the rock have caused the misa. So that's what the pasuk tells Evan Oegrov. The teachers are just like the fist is something that they see. It's not going to be lost, but it's the Eidim, not the Basin, that sees it. So too, the Eidim have to see the rock, but Lav Davka does the Basin have to see the rock. That's Rabbi Akiva's response to Shimon HaTimni. Now, what does this have to do with our discussion? Because Rabbi Akiva seems to imply, V'chi mipnei Basin iko? So, Tani Mias, it said, Amar Rabbi Akiva, V'chi mipnei Basin iko? Did the Basin actually see him getting hit? Shodeh kami ko? Did they know how much he was hit? No, Rabbi Akiva is saying that they don't have to. However, the implication is, ha he called with them. If they in fact did see it, so then, eid nasadayin. The Rabbi Akiva holds that they could have acted both as the witnesses and as the judge. But we had said before the Rabbi Akiva holds that eid nasadayin is not correct. Here we see the writer says eid nasadayin is correct. Somewhere it says no. Rabbi Akiva was saying, according to you, Shimon HaTimni, Eid Nasadayin, little brother Shimon HaTimni Kamar, the Leilos Yule, but he himself doesn't hold that an Eid could become a Dayin, so there's no steer in Rabbi Akiva. We have another Braisa, Tana Rabbanon. We learn the following Braisa, short tam, Shehem is Vizik. If you have a short tam, which means the short is not going to pay full damages, as we learned earlier in the Masechta, you only pay Chatzi Nezek, and you pay me Guf of the short tam. And this short tam went and killed somebody. So we said that the short tam is killed. You don't wait till it becomes a short mu'ud, you kill it right away. And then the Hizik, and after it had killed a person, it then damaged the second time. And it just didn't kill somebody, it just caused damage. So first it killed somebody, and then it did damage to another person or to another item. So the din is, the Braisa says, don and also din and fashos. You first adjudicate the case of din and fashos. And then, since the shor will be put to death, so you only go and collect from the shor's guf, if it's a short time, for damages. So vein don and also din and mamas. There's no point in judging the din and mamas case because the shor is now a shor niskal. It's destined to be have skila done to a basin paskin that it's a shor niskal. So therefore, it's also bahana, and therefore you can't pay from its guf for the damages. So therefore, no point ain't done and also did in mamonos. However, it was a muad shehemis. First, you have a shor muad that went and killed somebody, and then after it killed somebody, the hizik it went and did damage. So here, since you pay from the owner's pocket and not from the guf of the shor itself, so the Gemara tells us, Dardin also didi mamonos, do the second case first, the didi mamonos case first, and then the chos with don also didi fashos, and then adjudicate the didi fashos capital case. But if you did it the other way around, kadmu v'dono dinei fashos, if you did the dinei fashos case first, so then, ein chozun v'dono noso dinei momenos, then don't go and adjudicate the dinei momenos case. Now, Gemara questions this and says, v'chi kadmu v'dono dinei fashos, my havi, why in the second part of this braisa do we say that you should go and adjudicate the dinei fashos case second? But if you adjudicated it first, then we don't adjudicate the dinei momenos case. Why not? My havi. So you did incorrectly the din and fashos case first, but since you're not paying for the guf of the shor, so even though it's going to be shor niskal, why not adjudicate the second case, the din and mamonos case, and let the owner of the shor pay for the damages that his shor muad did? So Amar Rava, Rava tells us, Ashrichintu l'Rabbanon, Devei Rav, I found the Talmidei Chachamim that were learning the Beis Medrash of Rav. Again, it doesn't necessarily mean it was Rav's Beis Medrash, it means that he was just learning in the Beis Medrash. The Yasvei Karmen, they were sitting and learning, and they said, Hamani, you know whose opinion this is? This is, now here we call him Rabbi Shimon HaTimni, before we called him just Shimon HaTimni, Rabbi Shimon HaTimni, this is the opinion of Shimon HaTimni, the Amar, who says that you must actually see in the Beis Din, Mo Egrof Miyuchot Shemosu L'Edim L'Edim, that not only do the witnesses have to see this, but the Beis Din itself has to see it as well. We turn to Tzadi Aleph, Omer Aleph. Amo, we see, Bo'in un umdina de Beidina. You need the Beis Din to go and adjudicate it and see it. So here, in our case, V'ha kivan de gomar dino liktola, once the Beis Din said that this ox is chayiv misa, it's a shara niskal, because it killed a person, lo mashinon le'li umdina de Beidina. We can't go and delay justice. Just like a person, we don't delay justice. You must do the case, the capital case, and then kill the person right away. We don't believe in 20 years on death row. You paskin the din, and then you give the guy misa, so he shouldn't have a horrible misa waiting and waiting and waiting to be killed. It's terrible on the person's psyche. So therefore, once basic paskin should be killed, we kill him right away. So too the shor niskal. Even though the shor niskal doesn't have nerves, doesn't get excited, doesn't get nervous, nevertheless, the dinim are parallel. So just like we kill a person right away after the basic paskin, he should be killed. So too, lo mashinan, we don't delay, the umdina de beidina. We don't go and delay killing the shor niskal to go and adjudicate a dinim amino's case. We don't delay giving the psak halacha. So that's what Rava heard the Talmidim say. And he tells the Talmidim, I hold no, that you don't have to lock in this brisa to only be the opinion of Shimon HaTimni. You can even hold that this goes in the court of Rabbi Akiva, because you know what we're talking about over here? We're dealing over here, the way Rashi understands this, a simple way to understand this, is that the owner ran away. The Rambam has an interesting sheet that he says it was the ox that ran away. But we'll learn it simple like Rashi, that it was the owner that ran away. And therefore, the Gemara says they couldn't adjudicate the other case because you need to be adjudicating in front of the litigants. And therefore, since he ran away, they couldn't adjudicate the Dini Mamano's case. The Gemara says, Ibarach. So then, if he ran away, Kilo Danu Dini Nefashos, if they ran away without him judging the Dini Nefashos case, so Heichidai Nidulei Dini Mamano's below bottom. So obviously, they couldn't judge the Dini Mamano's case either. So the Gemara says, the Kabo Sadi Abarach. You know what they did? They first, the guy was there. They paskin the Dine Mamano's case. And then he ran away because he couldn't afford to pay it. So he ran away. Now the Gemara says, so, how are you going to pay for it? Well, we said in the first case that the ox didn't have the Dine Nefashos case first, but they judged the Dine Mamano's case. So then, where are they going to pay for it if the Balaam were able to be adjudicated because they were there originally, but then they ran away? How are you going to pay the damaged person? So it says, Merija. What we'll do over here is we'll go and allow the person who was damaged to go and use this for plowing. So if you can use it for plowing, so therefore, it's as if the owner himself had paid for it because it's his ox. So therefore, that's why if they judge the Dine Mamano's case first, when the judges adjudicated it, the Balaam were there, then they ran away. So there's no money for them to pay. So they used this very ox. And therefore, until the ox plowed enough and paid back for the damages, and then they could adjudicate the Dine Nefashos case on the ox and have the ox killed. That's why you could do it in that order. Where it says, Yihachi, so then why in the case of the Tam, do the same thing? With the Tam, the Dine Dine Mamanos Ratio. So do the Dine Mamanos case first, and then the Nishtali Mirija, let it go and plow for the person who did the damages. It'll pay the Chatzi Nezik from the plowing. Vahadir Nidaininu Dine Nefashos. And then go adjudicate the Dine Nefashos case. And you'll pass it to Sashori Niska, and then it will be killed. So you can accomplish that with a Shar Tam. Why only with the Shar Muad? So where it says, no. Amar Rav Mari, Berei de Rav Kahana. Rav Mari was the son of Rav Kahana, said, so Omeris, you see from here, that when we say that you have to pay for the Nezik, the Chatzi Nezik of a short time, it has to come from the goof of the short time, it comes from the body itself. So Omeris, Rija Aliyah de Maruhu. That's not considered the body of the short time. That's considered the property of the owner. And therefore, the owner is not responsible to pay out of his own pocket. He only pays from the goof of the short. And that Ridya is considered paying out of his pocket and not paying out of the guf of the short tam. So that's why you couldn't adjudicate the order with the tam. First do the tam, Dini Mamano's case. If the owners ran away, so then there is no way to go. They have no money. They didn't leave any money behind. So then you can't use it Ridya. That's called Min Ha'aliyah, and that's not called Min Guf of the short tam. This is a good break point. With this, we'll conclude today's share.